A writer named Ruth Haley Barton relates the story of this highly educated professor who went to see a monk who was renowned for wisdom. The professor arrived and regaled the monk with stories of his knowledge, ideas, theories, opinions, about so many things. And the monk quietly listened. Eventually he broke in and said, "Would you like a cup of tea?" And the professor smiled and nodded and kept talking about everything that was on his mind. The monk brought the tea and handed the professor a cup. And from a pretty big teapot, he began to pour. And he kept pouring. And when the cup was full, he kept pouring. And the tea kept flowing over the edge of the cup. I've done that, but not on purpose. Finally, the professor noticed what was happening, and he leapt to his feet. He said, Don't you see what's going on? The cup's already full. It's flowing everywhere. And the monk replied, "Yeah, this cup is like your mind. It can't take in anything new because it's already so full." Barton concludes, "Eventually, when we stop the flow of our own words, another gift comes to us, quietly and imperceptibly at first. We find ourselves resting in prayer." A month ago, we talked about another kind of prayer, warrior praying, from James chapter 5, verses 16 to 18, praying that focuses on honest confession and persevering, really believing God, as Elijah did. He's referenced in that passage. And seeing God answer, just ordinary people like us praying in Christ's name, and the power of God intervenes. And that's vital. But today we're going to talk about another vital kind of prayer, quiet prayer. Sometimes called listening prayer, sometimes called contemplative prayer. Richard Foster, in his book titled Prayer, quoted an early church leader named Clement of Alexandria, who said, "People have become like old shoes, all worn out except for the tongue." And in our world of quick texts, tweets, TikTok videos, all kinds of sound bites, there's much to say and sometimes little to communicate. Foster quotes one Isaac of Nineveh, who was a Syrian Christian monk, who said, "Those who delight in a multitude of words, even though they can say admirable things, are empty within." Ouch, okay. King David of Israel prayed one of many biblical expressions of listening prayer. And it's in Psalm 62 where we're going to go today. And I'm going to read it to you. This is the New Living Translation, or the NLT if you're in your online Bible and trying to decide which one this is. Psalm 62, written by David for Jeduthun, the choir director. David was a songwriter. He did the lyrics, at least. And he says, I wait quietly before God, for my victory comes from him. He alone is my rock and my salvation, my fortress where I will never be shaken. So many enemies against one man, all of them trying to kill me. To them, I'm just a broken down wall or a tottering fence. They plan to topple me from my high position. They delight in telling lies about me. They praise me to my face, but curse me in their hearts. Let all that I am wait quietly before God, for my hope is in him. He alone is my rock and my salvation, my fortress where I will not be shaken. My victory and honor come from God alone. He alone is my rock and my salvation, my fortress where I will not be shaken. My victory and my honor come from God alone, he says. He is my refuge, a rock where no enemy can reach me. O my people, trust in him at all times. Pour out your heart to him, for God is our refuge. Common people are as worthless as a puff of wind, and the powerful are not what they appear to be. If you weigh them on the scales together, they are lighter than a breath of air. Don't make your living by extortion or put your hope in stealing. And if your wealth increases, don't make it the center of your life. God has spoken plainly, and I have heard it many times. Power, O God, belongs to you. Unfailing love, O Lord, is yours. Surely you repay all people according to what they have done. Now come, Holy Spirit, and speak through your truth. Listening prayer transfers trust. I wait quietly before God, for my victory comes from him. He alone is my rock and my salvation, my fortress, where I will never be shaken. Thought question for you. Who or what is your rock? That thing or person that you depend on. The Hebrew word quietly or rest or wait is dumia, and it means silence or repose. David is being quiet here. He's articulating what he's doing in the psalm, but he's quiet before God. And he feels the stress of so many things. People were slandering him. Some were trying to destroy his life. They were actively and passively undermining him, plotting against him. And David, the man of war, who had at his disposal quite a few military resources, resorts to being quiet. He gets alone with God, and he's quiet, and he waits before God in listening prayer. And then he repeats the theme again in verse 5, let all that I am. Yeah, all that I am, the plans, the ideas, the vengeful thoughts. Wait quietly before God, for my hope is in him. He alone is my rock and my salvation, my fortress where I will not be shaken. Salvation for him in this immediate context referred to victory over the enemies who are trying to destroy him. I like how Derek Kidner comments on this. And he says, really, enemies, evil tries to destroy you in your weakness, but also in your strength. And so when threatened and stressed, it's easy to plot retaliation, revenge, retribution. Easy to go straight to planning. We need a strategy. And that's good. I love planning. All those things are good. They're gifts from God. But first he says, I'm going to just wait quietly before God because he's my hope. Pray first, plan later. Listening prayer transfers trust to the Lord. God often urges his people to listen to him. Here are a few of the many scriptures where he speaks of listening to him, being quiet. Listen, O Israel. The Lord is our God, the Lord alone. Come to me with your ears wide open. Listen, and you will find life. I will make an everlasting covenant with you. I will give you all the unfailing love I promised to David. And the Lord came and called as before, Samuel, Samuel. And Samuel replied, Speak, your servant is listening. I lie awake thinking of you, meditating on you through the night. Lord, my heart is not proud. My eyes are not haughty. I don't concern myself with matters too great or too awesome for me to grasp. Instead, I have calmed and quieted myself like a weaned child who no longer cries for its mother's milk. Yes, like a weaned child is my soul within me. I have quieted myself. My sheep listen to my voice. I know them, and they follow me, Jesus said. When the Spirit of truth comes, Jesus said, he will guide you into all truth. He will not speak on his own, but will tell you what he has heard. He will tell you about the future. He will bring me glory by telling you whatever he receives from me. That is why the Holy Spirit says, today when you hear his voice, don't harden your hearts as Israel did when they rebelled, when they tested me in the wilderness. Listening prayer transfers trust to God. The goal of silent listening prayer, as David expresses here, is to remember that he alone is our hope, that he is our fortress, our salvation, our refuge, the God who guards our honor and gives victory. Gordon Smith, who's the president of our university, Ambrose University in Calgary, refers to A.B. Simpson, who was the founder of this family of churches back in the 1800s. And Simpson said, Beloved, let us take his stillness. Let us dwell in the secret place of the Most High. Let us enter into God at his eternal rest. Let us silence the other sounds, and then we can hear the still, small voice. Stilled, quieted my soul. And then Gordon refers to Elijah's encounter with God. We know the story. We referenced it recently. In 1 Kings chapter 19, Elijah is on the mountain, Mount Carmel, with hundreds of prophets of the pretend god, the idol Baal, which can't do anything because it's really just a piece of wood. And there's a contest to see who really is God, and God Almighty, in answer to Elijah's prayer, sends fire from heaven and burns up the sacrifice on the altar, even burns up the water they'd poured on it. And it was very clear who really is God. But Elijah's exhausted. He's depressed. He is afraid because his life is endangered. He is not popular with the king, because he speaks for God, and that didn't go over well with the king. And so Elijah went to the wilderness, and he's alone there, and God speaks to him. And he tells Elijah to go stand on the mountain because God wants to reveal himself. He's going to pass by. And so Elijah goes up to this mountain, and he waits. And there's a fierce hurricane. It's so strong, it blows rocks off the mountain. And then there's an earthquake, and the place shakes. And then there's a fire. And I'm told by those who fight forest fires, if you've been near one, it does sound like a train coming for you. And yet, in all of this, Elijah did not hear God. But then it says, and after the fire, there was the sound of a gentle whisper. When Elijah heard it, he wrapped his face in his cloak and went out and stood in the entrance of the cave. And God spoke to Elijah. He listened to his complaints. I'm the only good guy left. And he reassured Elijah that he was still in control. And then God gave Elijah a new mission. He said, you're going to go and anoint a new king of Israel, and you're going to anoint Elisha to be your replacement, because your time's coming to an end. He repurposed his mission. We might like the noisy events as Christians. They're all right. There's nothing wrong with the noisy events that we do. I've gone to, participated in those. I've planned some of those. I've really met God in a few of them. But if that's the only thing we do, where we think, I have to have the noise to connect with God, then we're going to miss some very profound things that the Holy Spirit wants to do in us and maybe not even know it. Come to the quiet. Be still. Come to the quiet. In his time of listening to God, David transferred his trust. And listening prayer also teaches trust. Then he says in verse 8, O my people, trust in him at all times. Pour out your heart to him, for God is our refuge. David then calls on his fellow Israelites to pour out their hearts to God. Trust him at all times. I like how Kidner points out there's an interesting and important balance here between pouring out our hearts and then quietly waiting on God. In the time of listening, David heard that God honors him. It's interesting that the Hebrew word for honor means weighty, heavy. But those who are trying to get him, he says, it turns out they're really just a puff of wind. They're smoke and mirrors. But God's word is true. His truth is forever. But they're lighter than a breath. Influencers. Influencers are important in our society. Warren Geiser on the website Influencer Marketing Hub defines an influencer as someone who has, quote, the power to affect the purchasing decisions of others because of his or her authority, knowledge, position, or relationship with his or her audience. Then he points out that more than 4.59 billion people actively engage with social media. That's a lot. A lot of communication of some kind going on. I like social media. I think it's a great tool for a lot of things. Yet, in an age of Google, TikTok, and emerging chat GPT, which is going to grow and so on, it's so vital that we learn to listen to God. Because the distractions are powerful. The lobbying, the influencing is everywhere. Listening prayer transfers trust onto God, away from other influencers, gives us some perspective. Listening prayer transfers trust. And David ends this psalm with these words, God has spoken plainly, and I have heard it many times. Power, O God, belongs to you. Finally, power belongs to you, O God, not to the influencers in my life, in my society, even the good ones. Power, O God, belongs to you. Unfailing love. Unfailing love, O Lord, is yours. Surely you repay all people according to what they have done. God knows. God sees. Through quiet prayer, David concludes that God has power and unfailing love for him. He knew he could trust God in the horrible situation, no matter who shouts, diminishes, ridicules, hates you. God is the authority and the author of unfailing love. Listening prayer transfers trust to God. Listening prayer teaches trust in God. Here are some practical helps to do this. First of all, trust God's power and unfailing love. Take time from activity to quietly focus your attention on the Lord. That can include worshiping Him then, confessing sin when He brings it to you. Be transparent about struggles or temptations. Bring stray thoughts back to Him. Journal if that helps you stay tuned. And quietly think about God's power and love for you. And some cautions. Develop mature awareness of God's word. Pray for protection against deception and be in community with other believers. Now let's break this down a bit. Perhaps we could go back to the, is that all on one slide? Yeah, okay. We'll just leave that there, please, as we walk through this. Trust God's power and unfailing love as you listen to Him. Jesus said, you fathers, if your children ask for a fish, do not give them a snake instead. Do you give them a snake instead? Answer, no. Or if they ask for an egg, do you give them a scorpion? Of course not. So if you sinful people know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will your heavenly Father give the Holy Spirit to those who ask Him? He gives a fish, not a snake. So you bring your mind to the Holy Spirit openly and say, I need to hear from you. I need your guidance. I need to just be present with you and trust Him. He's good. He's not going to bring a snake or a scorpion. And then it's important as you wait before Him to pray for protection over your thoughts. I like how Richard Foster gives this example of praying for protection. He says this, and so this is a good pattern or something like this. By the authority of Almighty God, I surround myself with the light of Christ. I cover myself with the blood of Christ, and I seal myself with the cross of Christ. All dark and evil spirits must now leave. No influence is allowed to come near to me, but that it is first filtered through the light of Jesus Christ, in whose name I pray. Amen. Then take time from activity to quietly focus your attention on the Lord. Start by praising Him, just loving Him back, thanking Him for who He is. And then if sin comes to mind, confess it. Jesus said, God blesses those whose hearts are pure, for they will see God, Matthew 5:8. Remembering that the Holy Spirit convicts of specific sins. Sometimes that general sense of condemnation does not come from God. That comes from the devil or from terrible self-esteem, terrible self-image. When the Holy Spirit convicts of sin, it is something you can confess and repent of. Be transparent in that time. Be quiet. If a bird flies by your window, thank God for the beauty of creation. If you remember a conversation from the day before, thank God that He was present there, even if you didn't notice that yesterday. Be present for the Lord with all of your thoughts. Bring in the stray thoughts. Bring them to Him. Be present for the Lord. Journal if that helps you. Write down your ideas, thoughts, those things that come to mind. Oh yeah, I need to do that. Just put it on paper there. It's cached, it's put away. Note ideas. that you can evaluate later. Foster writes, "The idea is to let go of all competing distractions until we are truly present where we are. This is not emptying our minds. It is an active surrendering to God." This is vital. This is the vast difference between biblical meditation and listening to God and New Age concept, which is emptying your minds. This is not that. This is surrendering your minds to the truth of God. Listening prayer transfers trust. And then quietly think about God's power and God's love for you. How long? It's up to you. 5 minutes? Longer if you feel like lingering, if the Holy Spirit is speaking to your heart, encouraging you, correcting, guiding. And it doesn't have to be one long period of listening. You might have a time of thanking God and then quietness. Confession, then quietness. Asking, then quietness. And I know that some of us by personality are doers. And the idea of sitting still and being quiet and thinking, hey God, you know, we're on a timeline here. Could you please talk to me? Because seriously, for some personalities, the idea of doing something with one's hands is the context in which one best hears the Holy Spirit's gentle voice. And you have to honor that. How has God created you and gifted you? Now, here are some cautions. If you're new to faith in Jesus Christ, this idea of listening prayer might be down the road for you a bit. I encourage you, first of all, to get really familiar with the Word of God. Because the Holy Spirit will never guide you to think or do anything that is contrary to the message of the Scriptures. Become grounded in the Word. Spend time in the Gospels. Focus and meditate on the Sermon on the Mount, and it's in Matthew 5, 6, and 7. Just get your mind filled with what Jesus teaches, with what the truth is. So that's so important. This is a foundational thing. Let it pervade your thoughts. I'll start with a small portion of Scripture, like Psalm 62, verses 1 and 2. And simply say, Holy Spirit, speak to me. Show me how to respond to you and your word. Cheryl Beal, who wrote a book on biblical meditation, says, meditation is the digestive facility of the soul. I really think that's appropriate. Meditation is the digestive facility of the soul. It helps us get beyond. Yeah, I don't know what I read this morning, but I whipped through devotions. I had some time. I had my time with God. I have no idea what he said. Meditation is the digestive facility of the soul. And then be in community with other believers. This is an important caution. With other believers, whether you're new to faith or seasoned or overripe, we need each other as we listen to God. We need the guidance of the body of Christ. Take time in your triad of three people or your small group, for example. John cautioned the church with this in 1 John 4:1. He said, "Dear friends, do not believe everyone who claims to speak by the Spirit. You must test them to see if the Spirit they have comes from God, for there are many false prophets in the world." So it's not new. Listening involves community and discerning of spirits, listening together, and offering support for one another. Margaret Gunther tells of visiting a woman, dear friend of hers named Jenny, who she said was isolated and critically sick and living on the verge of poverty all the time. And as they sat together, Margaret was so caught up in wanting to help her friend that she blurted out, "I want to take away your pain. I want to be able to make all this go away. And she says, Jenny looked at me with infinite patience, patted my hand, and said, honey, just knowing that you're there and that you love me is enough. Don't worry about it. Margaret says, the greatest gift I could give her was not to play social worker or psychotherapist, but to quiet down and wait with her. Social workers, psychotherapists have a great, great service to people. That's not the point. But you and I, for the most part, we're just listening companions in prayer. Remember, the goal of listening prayer is to draw near to God. Jesus prayed for his disciples, I pray that they will all be one just as you and I are one. And you are in me, Father, and I am in you. And may they be in us so that the world will believe you sent me. John 17:21. Listening prayer transfers trust to God. It teaches trust of God. Listening prayer, listening to God. A man named Robert Mulholland describes the many books devoted to methods of prayer. And they're good. I have many on my shelf. Mulholland says, we are interested in knowing what works and developing the skills that will ensure our prayers are effective. As a result, our prayer tends to be a shopping list of things to be accomplished, an attempt to manipulate the symptoms of our lives without entering into a deep, vital, transforming relationship with God in the midst of what we think we need. Usually forgetting that Jesus said, your Father knows what you need before you ask him, in Matthew 6:8. And in the midst of the symptoms of our lives, usually forgetting that Paul said, in everything God works together, in everything God works together for good with those who love him, Romans 8:28. Listening prayer transfers trust. And so today, as we close the service, and this being Communion Sunday, we spend time doing what we call school of prayer, participating in prayer. We're not going to have a closing song or any closing music today. I want to just invite you with me to spend some time in listening prayer. Here's how we're going to begin. Would you pray with me? Come, Holy Spirit. Protect our minds and hearts in Christ Jesus. Protect our thoughts from anything that is not from the Spirit of God. We are here in the presence of God. We are under the protective covering of Jesus Christ through his blood shed on the cross, through his resurrection power. We are covered in him. We close any gate from any other voice that would try to deceive or mislead. And that will go wherever Jesus Christ takes it, away from here. And so speak, Holy Spirit.